everyone, and welcome back to Raya Affairs. My name is Francia Morales, and I'll be your host for this episode. Raya is a youth-led international think tank that translates the abstract world of international affairs by simplifying rather than generalizing. Raya is a place where you come to learn about the stories and worries of political leaders, the behind-the-scenes of decision-makers, and how politics impacts and changes your life. This is Raya Affairs, filling you in wherever you are. As always, I would like to give a disclaimer that expressed opinions in this episode are welcome, even though they may not be a direct reflection of Raya, as we specialize in unbiased writing. This episode is the fifth in a series of six as part of the IE Raya Summer Research Program of 2024. Raya has invited 12 IE University students to join our think tank and spend 9 weeks researching a figure from around the world to try to answer a simple question. Are they a climate leader? During their research, students have done a deep dive of the person's background, policies, and the impact of said policies in an effort to bring light to the diverse ways in which every person, no matter the role that they play in society, can contribute to the global climate policy framework. In today's episode, we will be focusing on Mia Motley from Barbados. Here with us, we have Africa Romero Rodriguez and Sofia Damasio Figueiredo. Would you two like to introduce yourselves to our audience?
Of course. Hello, my name is Africa Romero, and I'm thrilled to be part of this podcast today. So thank you very much for having us. I'm a third year dual degree student in business administration and international relations. And this summer, I've had the opportunity to work alongside Raya in the summer research program, where I've learned many valuable things in the different seminars we have had and gained experience in researching as well as writing skills.
Hello, my name is Sofia Damasio, and I am part of the 2024 Raya Summer Research Program, which I am very excited for. I am a third-year international relations student, and I have a special interest in international development, which was the main reason I decided to apply for Raya and learn about different political leaders and their stake in environmental politics.
Thank you so much for that introduction, and thank you for telling us also the reason why you joined the program, which is also always nice to hear as the person who's leading the program. And so before we hit you with all of our questions about your leader, which I'm sure you must be really tired of talking about after months and months of talking about her, I would like to ask you a question we ask all of our guests. Could you both tell us which leader, either dead or alive, who has impacted the world would you want to have a conversation with? Africa, let's start with you.
Sure. So I would say Gandhi, because we studied once in a social movement course, and I admire how he fought against violence and led peaceful revolutions. I believe that if you're not living in good conditions, you naturally want to change that situation for yourself and your family. However, being able to do so through peaceful means is truly admirable. So that's why I would like to have a conversation with him.
Very nice. What about you, Sophia?
I would say Mohamed Yunus. So we studied him last year, and I was really surprised and like interested in his mission. He's from Bangladesh, and he kind of restructured the way microloans work in order to avoid people from the bottom of the pyramid getting stuck in a debt trap. He did this by creating his own microfinance bank, and he then uses his profit to invest in different companies, namely ones which invest in the environment and sustainable development. So basically, I'm coming from the bottom of the pyramid. I think it's really admirable and what he's done. And that's why I would love to have a conversation with him.
Wow, that's very nice. I would say that this is a pretty unique answer coming from the both of you. I've heard many things, but not what you two said. So that's very good to know. And with that, I think we can really dive deep into your guys' research. So before we start talking to our listeners about policies and policy impacts and data and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, could you both tell us who is Mia Motley?
So Mia Motley, she has had a vast international education. So she attended the United Nations International School, and later on she studied law at London School of Economics. Mia Motley has been the leader of the Barbados Labour Party since 2008, and in 2018 she became the country's first female prime minister, with a historical result where her party held 72.8% of the seats in parliament. She was also recently re-elected prime minister in 2022. Ever since being elected, she has stressed the importance of fighting against climate change, mainly due to her country's vulnerability to it. This will be further explained later in the podcast. Prior to that, she was also Attorney General from 1994 to 2003, and from 2003 to 2008, she was appointed as Deputy Prime Minister, And adding to that, she was also responsible for implementing a republican system of government in Barbados and basically moving away from the British crown. She is over her years acting as prime minister. She has also been recognized as one of the key members in the SIDS, which stands for Small Island Developing States. And in 2021, she was declared a climate leader by the UN.
Wow. Okay. So she has a very storied career as a politician, which is very nice. That means we have a lot of her work to explore. So given that she's been in many levels of government and she's dedicated herself to public service for a long time, how did she become involved in the fight against climate change and why?
Sure. So we know that Barbados, a small island nation, is particularly vulnerable to the impacts of climate change. Despite contributing minimally to global CO2 emissions, small islands like Barbados face the severe risk of disappearing due to the consequences of climate change. This existential threat pushes MIA Motley to prioritize climate change mitigation policies. Also, something that concerns MIA Motley a lot is human security. Severe weather events such as hurricanes and tropical storms cause a lot of damage and affect a significant number of people. To put an example, the Hurricane Elsa resulted in at least 145 collapsed homes and an additional 2,227 reported incidents of damages. And it is also important to add that biodiversity losses also possess a critical threat, impacting both environmental and to the economy of Barbados. So MIA Motley's commitment to tackling climate change is driven by the need to ensure national and economic security, as well as the well-being of her people. Barbados' high debt to GDP ratio, which was 147.11% in 2021 and reduced to 107.46% in 2024, highlights the economic strain caused by frequent weather-related damages. Motley's strategy includes economic diversification and protecting vital sectors like tourism and agriculture from climate impact. She has also worked on renegotiating debt and securing funds with innovative financial instruments like hurricane clauses with the IMF. Moving on, I wanted to highlight that the COVID-19 pandemic was a turning point for MIA Motley. It exposed the vulnerabilities of Barbados' economy, shifting the fiscal surplus to a deficit and affecting key sectors like fishing, agriculture, and tourism. Motley realized that the next major disruption could come from climate change and not from another pandemic. This realization drove her to implement policies aimed at a more sustainable economy. Understanding the dependency on tourism, which accounted for 15.1% of GDP in 2019, underscored the urgency to diversify and implement sustainable economic policies. In conclusion, we have that MIA Motley's effective stance on climate change and her efforts to implement robust policies are not only crucial for Barbados, but also serve as an example for other nations. Her leadership in these areas has earned her international recognitions and solidified her position as a key figure in the global fight against climate change.
Wow, okay. So you touched a bit upon her worry for human security and also several sectors of the economy, which I imagine are affected by climate change. Could you maybe develop a bit more? What are the main climatic challenges facing Barbados today?
Barbados faces many climatic challenges due to its geographical location, situated in the Caribbean Sea. But in order to be more effective, we have selected three main challenges, which are rising sea levels, extreme weather events, and biodiversity loss, that we'll explain right now, starting by rising sea levels. So we have that human activities such as burning fossil fuels and transportation of goods and services results in producing CO2 emissions, which raise temperatures and lead to melting glaciers and ice sheets, ultimately causing rising of ocean levels. For example, in 2022, the average sea level was 101.2 millimeters above 1993 levels, a concerning statistic for Barbados. This problem of world warming also leads to intensified storm surge, flooding, damage to coastal areas, displacements of people, and contamination of soil and groundwater with salt. Barbados is particularly vulnerable due to its flat geography, with the highest point only 334 meters above the sea level. About 47,000 people live in the low elevation coastal zone, making them highly susceptible to sea level rise and severe weather events. Furthermore, we also have that 70% of the hotels in Barbados are situated within the 250 meters of the coastline, putting a significant portion of the tourism industry at risk. So as we can see, these different data, rising sea levels is one of the main environmental challenges for Barbados. Moving on to the extreme weather events, we have that since 2010, Barbados has faced numerous hurricanes and tropical storms, causing extensive damage and disruptions. The World Bank estimated an annual average loss of $45 million from hurricanes, which is 0.9% of Barbados' GDP. In a worst-case scenario, the probable maximum loss of hurricanes could reach $2.5 billion, or 47.8% of GDP from Barbados. And also, as the International Disaster Database established from the year 2002, including droughts, tropical cyclones, and earthquakes, a total of 8,860 people have been affected by these natural disasters. Given a bigger scope, we know that these weather events push millions of people into poverty worldwide, making this a really warning challenge. Then we also have that the Caribbean region, including Barbados, is characterized by high biodiversity and fragile ecosystem. Rising sea temperatures have led to the disappearance up of 80% of living coral in the Caribbean reefs over the past 20 years. This loss of coral reefs and mangroves affects both marine and terrestrial species. Habitat loss caused by tourism development, unsustainable land use practices, and other factors further threatens biodiversity loss. Influxes of sargassum seaweed have also caused economic, social, and health impacts on the Caribbean coast. So to sum up, we have that these three challenges have many consequences on the land, and these are the three main challenges that I wanted to stand out from Barbados.
Wow, okay, those seem a lot for such a small island. So what has Mia Motley been able to do? What can a person even do? So what has she done to help Barbados address these issues?
So, in order to address these issues, Mia Motley created and implemented several projects and initiatives. I mean, among the many we had, we picked three main ones. So, the first one we chose is the Bridgetown Initiative. This initiative seeks to reform the global financial system to better support climate-vulnerable developing nations. The key players in this are private investors, as one of the main pillars of this Bridgetown initiative is to fund $1 trillion for climate resilience. Also, Bridgetown defends that while suffering natural hazards caused by climate change, events such as droughts or floods, interest payments on loans are to be suspended. With these two key components via the Bridgetown initiative, Motley wishes to ensure stable economic growth for these types of nations. Moving on to the second policy, we have the Blue Economy Strategy established in 2018, which consists of several medium-scale projects. Barbados is a country that highly depends on tourism, on the tourism sector, and thus the need for the government to better understand the value of the fisheries sector. This strategy aims to allow Barbados to harness their marine resources and their EEZ, which stands for Exclusive Economic Zone, to achieve sustainable economic growth. So via this strategy, Mia Motley attempts to mix two of her goals, so protect the environment while incentivizing economic growth. Finally, we picked the Roofs to Reefs program that is actually part of the Blue Economy Strategy. This program focuses on leveraging financial tools to invest in increasing resilience of public housing and restoring coral reefs. So by restoring coral reefs, Motley is able to increase coastal protection to obviously protect the country from storms and extreme weather events. This model has as well been highly recognized and implemented by other countries.
What are the main obstacles that Motley has had to overcome when attempting to address these issues or trying to get these policies to happen? I mean, just mentioning the idea that maybe some debt would have to be, interest on debt would have to be paused or things like that, I imagine that might be hard to achieve. So what has been difficult about trying to bring these policies to life?
So an obstacle Motley has faced was to reach a common goal. So it is hard to reach a consensus when it comes to an initiative of the dimensions of the ones you were previously talking about. Although she is the party leader, she still has to consider and accept different positions of party members. This can be applicable specifically to the Bridgetown Initiative. There have been currently three versions of it, the latest to be implemented at the end of this year. So this kind of illustrates how several inputs from different people can delay the implementation of environmental projects. This comes attached to another challenge, which is balancing environmental sustainability and other needs the country has. So Motley has to manage how much is feasible for it to invest in these types of projects. This has led to her dependence on foreign investment and the intervention of institutions such as the Inter-American Development Bank to fund these projects. So this lack of funding obstacle is common to all three policies, including that many times these institutions are not very well seen by the people. Finally, we must also consider the main challenge, which is that all these projects must have short-term benefits. So Barbados is under existential threat from climate change, meaning that projects which have long-term effects are not really valuable for the country. When considering the time needed to create the project plus the time needed to implement it, we can see how this challenge may be actually even more important than the ones discussed previously.
Considering these challenges that you mentioned right now, has she been able to implement them? Have the policies been successful so far?
Somewhat successful. I mean, starting off with the Bridgetown Initiative, as previously mentioned, this policy has not yet been fully implemented, meaning that the impacts have been somewhat limited. However, this policy is hoped to be fully implemented by the end of 2024, and there are some expected effects. One of the main impacts is debt relief, considering that the main aspect of this policy, which is the restructuring of the global financial system. Additionally, also the $1 trillion can have a huge impact since it is a lot of money, especially for a small country like Barbados. So all this money can be used in a lot of areas, ranging from technological innovation to infrastructure development. So Barbados and other similar countries have a lot to gain from this. Moving on to the blue economy strategy, one of the most significant impacts have been the economic diversification. So the more diverse a country's economy is, the better, as it incentivizes economic activity. In this specific case, sustainable economic activity. So this is incredibly positive as it enhances economic security and resilience, safeguarding Barbados' position in the global economy. Also, this strategy impacts the Barbados' recognition. As a small nation, Barbados tends to struggle to stand out in the international arena. Therefore, being portrayed as a forward-thinking and innovative country opens up new opportunities for Barbados to engage in different alliances or partnerships with different countries or institutions. Finally, the Roof to Reef program is scheduled to be fully implemented by November of 2027. Therefore, similarly to the Bridgetown Initiative, its impacts are limited. However, as a result of Motley's dedication to this project, investment has increased. Some social benefits resulting from this increase in investments are, for example, more resilient homes are starting to become a reality in the country. Moreover, Barbados has been able to distance themselves from traditional energy sources. This is extremely positive as renewable energy requires less maintenance and is therefore a safer alternative. From an economic standpoint, renewables tend to be more cost efficient.
Wow, this really seems like, I mean, even if some of the policies that you're talking about have just begun to be implemented and therefore we're waiting to see the overall positive effect that we hope there will be in Barbados, I think it's already pretty interesting that your leader came out from under the wing of the UK. I mean, they used to be part of the global Commonwealth, and that already in the short time that Barbados has been its own republic, they have been able to pass these policies. And basically, Mia Mottley has probably helped Barbados make its own name in the world of climate policy making and brought these things into the forefront of the country's agenda. So that's really interesting what you're mentioning. And I do hope that I mean, ultimately, that it goes well. We'll have to wait to see until 2027 all of the ultimate effects of these policies, and hopefully they'll be positive. My next question is more of a two-part question, because I like to include aspects from both your report and other things that you're preparing for this program, like your Hot or Not article. And so I want to know two things. Number one, why is a case like Barbados and Mia Mottley's leadership important? Why is it something that should matter to our listeners? And number two, what can our audience learn from a case like this one and from policies from such a small country?
Okay, so to tackle the first question, it is important, first of all, because climate change is a worldwide problem. Even though Barbadians will be among the first to feel its effects due to their geographical position, if things do not change, it will eventually affect the rest of the world, for sure. And additionally, we must consider that we live in a highly globalized world. So if Barbados disappears, its entire population of 281,635 people will be forced to migrate to other territories. This displacement will be a direct consequence of the global CO2 emissions and planetary warming. Therefore, it's crucial to understand that we cannot just sit back and watch, thinking we won't be affected, because this is not the case. Moreover, the situation in Barbados and the leadership of Mia Mottley are significant for another reason. Despite being the leader of a small nation, Mottley has achieved substantial international recognition. She has been actively involved in many climate change organizations and conferences, and her efforts serve as a perfect example that other nations should follow. By coming together and becoming partners, we can collectively fight against this common problem. And in order to tackle the second question, I wanted to highlight two main things. First and most important is that people should take into account that this is a common worldwide problem, and Mia Mottley is offering an initiative to structure the world's fund to invest in combating climate change with the Bridgerton Initiative. And even if it's not totally implemented, the announcement of this policy started to make us think about the global problem, as countries will have the perfect way to contribute to climate change even if they are not the first ones in being affected. And the other main point is that having initiatives such as the Blue Economy Strategy proves that it is possible to combine economic growth with sustainable practices to maintain the environment free of damage.
Thank you for that answer, Africa. And so I think to conclude very nicely, that kind of bridges on over to my last question. In your own words, is Mia Mottley a climate leader?
So I will start by saying that after thoroughly analysis, Mia Mottley and her approach to climate change, we can state that she is definitely indeed a climate leader. But this is not only because of her commitment to climate policies to prevent Barbados, but also due to her international recognition and achievements. Despite being from a small island, she has garnered worldwide recognition and set an example for other small island nations. Mottley has increased awareness among all nations that while Barbados may be among the first to be severely affected, in fact potentially disappearing within 50 years, climate change is a global problem that everyone must take responsibility for.
So I think that she is also definitely a climate leader. She has created and implemented a number of initiatives and projects which focus on environmental issues. Additionally, she has expressed and raised awareness about how the climate issue is a global problem and how developing countries usually take the consequences of it. Furthermore, through these initiatives, she tries to bring together separate areas of society, so private investors, government, institutions, among others. However, there is obviously still room for improvement. She could be maybe more of a forward thinker. So she knows what's going to happen to Barbados in 50 years or less. It would be wise of her to create solutions for when Barbados is no longer livable. It is understandable that she is trying to prevent that from happening, but it would be safer to have some sort of plan or plan B.
Yes, you're right. I think a vision for the future of climate change might have to include having the tough conversations of what are we going to do if none of this ultimately works, or if it works, but not on the long run. And so I think you bring up a really good point, and maybe it would be a good time to start reaching out to allies and talking about how it would work if Barbados is no longer a landmass, but a memory of a nation. So I think with that, we can conclude. I hope it's not too sad a note to conclude for our listeners. I mean, there is obviously also the positive note that people are trying to make a change. And of course, Mia Motley is one of those people. And we'll just have to wait and see what the effects of these policies are, right? I've really enjoyed the opportunity to sit down and have a chat with you about your research. So thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And with that, we conclude today's episode. Thank you very much to our listeners for tuning in. If you liked this episode, please make sure to go check out Africa and Sofia's report and article, both of which you can find at riagroup.org. Make sure to share this episode with a friend and stay tuned for our sixth and last episode of our series as part of the IE RIA Summer Research Program of 2024. You can find our announcements in any of our social media, including Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.